You know, when you get a hastily typed text message and like one rogue punctuation mark completely changes the sender's intent, like let's eat grandma versus let's eat grandma.
Yeah, precision really matters there.
Right. Well, welcome to this deep dive into what might be the most scrutinized and debated sentence in American history. And before we get into the crossfire, because the research we're unpacking today contains some highly charged political arguments, let's be very clear. We are acting purely as impartial guides for you today.
Exactly. We are not endorsing any left-wing or right-wing views here. We're just conveying the factual legal arguments found in our source material.
So our mission today is to look at exactly why a single 27-word sentence from 1791, the Second Amendment, is causing, massive legal gridlock, and we'll weigh the arguments for and against actually rewriting it.
It's a huge task.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the 18th century comic chaos, that text message analogy I just mentioned. Imagine that on a massive constitutional scale.
Yeah, the structural crisis really begins with the grammar. The original enrolled document signed in 1791 actually contains three commas. But other historical versions, like the ones ratified by certain states, only have one or two.
Wait, really? Just one or two? And a missing comma isn't just a typo here, right? It dictates how the law functions.
Right, because modern courts have been arguing over whether the first part of the amendment about the militia is just an intro, like a prefatory clause, or if it strictly limits the second part, the operative clause about the actual right to bear arms.
But applying modern grammar rules to an 18th century document is kind of a flawed premise, isn't it?
Completely. Linguists in our sources point out that back then, commas weren't strict logical dividers. They were often just oral pauses for breath.
Because these documents were meant to be read aloud in town squares, I mean, people needed to know when to physically take a breath. It wasn't about coding strict legal syntax.
Precisely. And since we can't definitively agree on what those 18th century commas meant, the Supreme Court recently decided to throw out modern interpretations entirely, forcing judges to only look at 18th century history.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because that shift is exactly what's causing our current judicial chaos.
Yeah, for decades, courts used something called interest balancing. That basically means a judge would weigh the government's interest in public safety against the individual's right to bear arms. But in 2022, the Bruin decision tossed that out.
Right, just out the window.
Exactly. Now courts have to use a strict history and tradition test.
Which means lower courts have to find a direct 18th century law that matches any modern regulation. And that is causing these massive circuit splits, where different regional courts are making completely contradictory rulings.
Like with marijuana users.
Yes, some regions say habitual marijuana users can be lawfully disarmed based on historical laws about intoxication, while other regions disagree completely. But wait, how does this historian test even work in practice? I mean, it seems impossible to force modern judges to act as historians when the 1791 benchmark was, a single-shot muzzle-loading musket.
It is incredibly difficult
That's it.
because.
How do you find a historical analog for, like, a 3D printed ghost gun you can assemble in minutes, or a biometric smart gun that requires your specific fingerprint to fire?
You often just can't. I mean, there were no decentralized, untraceable plastic firearms in the 1790s. This mismatch between 18th century text and 21st century tech is exactly what Sparking calls for a constitutional update. People want to clarify the original intent for the modern era.
But actually, changing the Constitution to fix this tech mismatch is a mechanical nightmare, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. What's fascinating here is the sheer risk of the Article V amendment process itself. If you want to bypass a gridlocked Congress, you need 34 state legislatures to call a constitutional convention.
Which is a huge hurdle on its own.
Yeah, but the kicker is that the Constitution provides absolutely zero rules for how that convention actually operates once it starts.
Hold on, zero rules. What stops a convention meant to just update gun laws from, I don't know, suddenly deciding to rewrite the First Amendment?
Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing at all. That is known as the runaway convention theory. You'd have unelected delegates basically making up the rules as they go. They could put freedom of speech, religion, or the right to privacy right on the chopping block. The entire Constitution could be rewritten.
Wow. So the argument for keeping the messy 1791 text, even with the confusing commas and muskets, is that it's actually safer than risking a convention.
Yes, exactly. Proponents argue the current text is a vital anti-tyranny safeguard. Furthermore, they argue that the strict history test prevents core rights from being balanced away by temporary legislative panics.
Yeah.
It keeps the right securely anchored.
So what does this all mean for you? Ultimately, you have a massive clash between modernizing our laws for clarity versus preserving a historical safeguard that shields against government overreach.
And if we can't safely rewrite the amendment, well, some legal scholars suggest borrowing concepts from the First Amendment, specifically the time, place, and manner doctrine.
Right, where the core right is protected, but the government can heavily regulate exactly when and where you can exercise it.
Exactly. It's a sort of compromise.
Which leaves you with this thought to mull over. If we started regulating firearm rights exactly like free speech zoning, creating legal public forums for them, and sensitive non-public spaces where they are completely banned, how would that practically reshape your daily movement through modern public spaces? Think about that rogue text message again. We are desperately trying to clarify the punctuation of the past just to figure out how we're allowed to safely navigate the future.